And it's the Lord who's going to bring them in. It's not, it is going to be, I've seen stadiums filled with people. And other people have seen crop fields where as far as you can see, there are people, and there are these, what I call no-name prophetic evangelists who are going to speak what they hear God saying, and the harvest is coming. There's a man that the Lord had write a musical for the end times. There are people that are writing songs and music for the end times. God is thinking of all kinds of stuff that I would never think of. But he knows our hearts. He knows his creation. He knows we're all different. And he knows that each one of us will answer a call in a different way. And he's covering that. This is a cool story. There was a man that I met, speaking of songs, along the way, that the Lord's... I was telling him about these stadiums, this group, a small group in a home, and he just started crying on the couch. He just started weeping, and he was a Jew that had become a believer when he was like 19, and he's probably in his mid-50s when I met him. And I tell him about these stadiums, and he's crying, and I'm like, I stop, and I just said, "Are you okay? What's going on?" And he says, "Well," he said, "the Lord gave me a song. When I first came to the Lord, I cried out to him. I won't get into it all, but I cried out to the Lord and God came." And he said, "I was a musician and all of a sudden God gives me this song." And he writes this song to draw Jews to the Messiah. I've never heard a song like that geared toward Jews. And he was weeping. Because he said about, I don't know how many years ago, a number of years ago, that he said, I had a dream and I was in a big stadium and it was just filled with all these people. And I was sitting on the second row down on the floor and the speaker up on the stage saw me sitting there. And he said, and the speaker said, "Come on up here, come to the stage." And so he comes up and he said, "Play that song." He's part of it. There are people with music that God has put in them for the times that are coming for this harvest, because God cares about the harvest. That's why he's waited this long. He wants as many people in the kingdom as is possible. And he will have his way. He loves us. So when you go home and you start to ponder this or listening to this and you start thinking about this, don't let fear get in there. This isn't about that. And I say that over and over because he loves us. This is an act of love. Just like those nurses, they love that little boy. It's an act of love. So I could go on and on and on. I'm not going to because we're running. It's almost 8 o'clock. So I'm going to ask now if anybody has any questions. I'll just ask if anybody has any questions. Anybody, just if questions, comments, it doesn't matter. Anybody? Yes. The witch? Oh, the quilt? No. No, no. That flash of light has not taken place. What is happening now is that dissolving of the finances, that's happening. I got this in April of 08, and shortly after that, it started to really, take off, financial problems. But that flash of light has not happened yet. But when it does, be ready. Because that really is what triggers, to me, phase two of what's coming.
All right, so because we're recording this, Stephen, you got two options. I can hand this
you
out.
You hand the microphone.
You don't want to repeat the question?
No.
Okay. I'll hand it out.
I know you want me to, but I'm not good at that.
That's all right.
So, anybody else? Question or comment? Anybody? Because this is our time. And of course, it's in the way back. wait. Let him get the microphone on you because they're recording. So let's.
Somebody had a question right here. We'll do you first. And Vicky,
right
was it you?
Right up front.
Do you have a question?
Okay. We're coming to you.
Just a couple of things. This morning, I follow the services at Glory of Zion early Sunday mornings. And 8 years ago when we got a word of knowledge related to an email, and a woman was sent here, and we started our food pantry and started the food ministry, that it's been God's and it's been blessed and things manifest, and it's done nothing but grow. And then God gave us a strategy to reach the seniors and a free program. And truly, in the last 2.5 years, we've given away 57 tons. No, that's last year. So wow. Hundreds of tons of free food and a strategy for delivering to the complexes. But God's had the storehouse was part of the original word 8 years ago. And, you know, we were watching to see what that meant here at Restoration. But as other things happened in town and Walmart came, Lord said, go walk it and thank me for this, this part of the storehouse and the farm store and markets and different things. Mm-hmm. But this morning, about 11 o'clock, part of the word that was given there that the Lord just said, it's now. Because he told me he would tell me when we were to fill the storehouse. And this morning the word was, it's now, and there's to be 7 years worth of food in the storehouse. So that was just
so
a
that
word.
Just, the Lord released that to you this morning. The time is now to fill that thing.
Yes.
To have enough food to last for 7 years. Yeah, well, it's okay. Yes, ma'am.
Stephen, last year when you were here, yes. I only caught the last hour because I was working, but there was some type of map and it had cities of refuge there. He's got it. I was just wondering if you would share any of that with us again.
You know, I knew that would come up. What happened? Let me just explain about this map a little bit before I show it. And you know what? There, as I've traveled and met people, there are other maps. There are people that God has shown exit strategy to out of this nation. There's at least two that I know of. But this one is very kind of different, and I'll show it to you in a second for those that don't know what I'm talking about. In 1988, well, let me even back up. I was speaking in Waco, Texas, and at the end of this meeting, this woman comes up to me and she just lays in front of me on my table a map of the United States. And she asked me if I've ever seen it before, and I said, no. And so she said, well, in 1988, she said there were a group of women and we were praying. She was one of them, and we were in Israel and we were praying for the United States. And God began to tell us the names of cities in the United States that would be on fire. And she doesn't mean a spiritual fire. This literally is burning. Three cities. And then God tells them the names of six cities that would suffer tremendous persecution. And there were three across the north, three across the south. And then God tells these women the names of 24 cities that would be areas of refuge. Now, before I go any further, I want to make this really clear that there are many, 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 many more cities of refuge than 24. And think about this. If you have that many cities of refuge scattered across our nation, that tells you that what's going on around that city of refuge is not good. There's a reason that city of refuge needs to exist. Does that make sense? And a city of refuge can be a farm, it can be a house, it can be a cave, it can be whatever it is. But at the heart of every one is a place of prayer. That is the one thing that's so vital for survival. And so, as these women are praying in 1988, God gives one of the women a vision. And in the vision, and I'm going to ask that you not take pictures of this, or we can record because I'm not going to talk about some of the safety stuff. But what happened, God gives one of the women a vision. And in the vision, he showed her that the six cities that would suffer tremendous persecution actually form the points of the Star of David over our nation. And in the vision, the Lord showed her that the closer you get to the center of the Star of David, the greater the protection would be. It doesn't mean it's absolute. It means it's greater. So you see, there's a little, I know a lot of you are looking at Colorado, right? And in Colorado, there is a red, dot, or whatever you want to call it. Those women in 1988, I told you that God gave them the names of three cities that would be on fire. And the Lord told him in 1988, one would be New York City. Another one would be Washington, D.C. And the third one totally surprised me was Colorado Springs. And so that one didn't even make any sense to me. Colorado Springs, who cares? You know, when you take out Pikes Peak or, you know, what is that? What is there? Well, as time went on, you start learning about Cheyenne Mountain and NORAD. And from what I'm gathering from military people at high levels is that if an enemy was going to attack the United States, Colorado Springs would be, it is a number up in the top five military targets in this nation. Because of that. And that also is a clue, is it not? That we're probably talking about some sort of a military thing. And I'm telling you, I've traveled all over the country with this thing, meeting people who hear from God. And it's very common that people have seen enemy soldiers on our soil. They've seen Russian soldiers. They've seen Chinese. People have seen Middle Eastern kind of garb. There are people that have seen military jets flying over certain cities, blowing stuff up. It's not pretty. I was speaking at a meeting somewhere about to that night, and a mother calls me and wants me to meet with one of her children. She has like six or seven kids, and she homeschools, and what they do at their house is They have an hour of worship before the Lord, and they're just praying and worshiping. And she has her kids just draw on a piece of paper what God that she feels like what they feel like God is showing them. And so their 11-year-old daughter is drawing these pictures in pencil, and these are good drawings. These are not like stick figures; they're very detailed with pencil. And she wants me to meet her 11-year-old daughter because her daughter is getting pictures of the underground. And so I'm like, I'd love to meet her. And so she comes over early, and I sit down with this little 11-year-old girl, and they have a stack of 31 drawings from the last month of God's revelation to her. And she just goes through picture after picture after picture, and it's like tunnels, tunnels, tunnels. And in these tunnels are all these people. I mean, it's all kinds of people in these tunnels. And in virtually every one of the pictures are enemy soldiers trying to find the entrances. They're trying to penetrate the underground. And I asked her, I said, "Who? Do you have any idea where they come from?" And she said, "I don't. I just know that they're not. They're evil. Kind of. She just knows they're not good." And so I'm looking at all these pictures, and this little girl is telling me what I'm looking at, and it blew my mind, because I'm telling everything that I know about the underground and what people are doing and how people are preparing was in somewhere in her drawings. Everywhere. Because I know we're going to have access to her own C-130 airplanes, and we're going to be moving food and medical supplies and school supplies around in this network. I know that's something we're going to be doing. And in one of her pictures, there's a big cargo plane at the top of this picture, and they're pushing food out of the plane for the people in the underground. And what was interesting, too, about her drawings is that most of the people in these caves were children. And I was like, where are the adults? And she's like, I don't know. But they weren't there. And so she keeps going, she keeps going. And somewhere in the middle, she oh, see this one right here? And she's pointing at this one character in one of these caves. And she had like levels of caves and different gadgets and stuff. So there's like witty inventions involved in this. It's really amazing. And there's this one character, one figure in one of these pictures that she was so excited. See this character? See this person right here? You see this person right here? She said, he is a messenger from heaven. God has sent him with a message for the people in this cave. She was so excited. And she went through all 31 of her drawings. And I just said, thank you. I just thanked her so much for sharing this with me. Thank you so much. This means so much to me. And then she just says, Mom, can I have a sucker? She's 11. That just blew me away. Sorry, that was a little tangent, but God is speaking to people of all ages about this stuff. Anybody else? Questions, comments? Kelly.
I know everyone's very curious about all that stuff you have on the table up there. So we don't want to end until you talk about it.
Okay, I'll get to that stuff on the table. We'll probably stop recording when I get there. It's all going to be audio. So, anybody else? Questions, comments? Yes, over here.
I just want to share a dream I had 2 years ago.
Good.
It was like on a Sunday morning.
What is your name?
I'm Linda Franklin.
Okay.
And so it was real vivid. It was somebody was taking us out to look at a place, like a house. And so I don't know if it was a realtor or what. So we get out there, and Ben and I go in, and it's a huge place, and it's just a lot of children and babies and dirty diapers. It stunk so bad, and it was really disturbing me. And then there was, like, doors going into a big area, and we never went in there. Because I said, Ben, I need to get out of here. It really stinks, and it's bothering me. So we leave, Ben and I, and that guy was standing there. He never talked. And Ben said, we need to go back. We need to go back and look at that place again. So the second time we went in, it was immaculate. There was no smell. The children were all orderly. There were no adults anywhere. And in the middle was a huge worship area. And then I woke up.
What does that sound like, everybody? There's going to be order in this. When God is in something, he will protect us. There was a woman once I met that she said, I was in my city, and I was I look outside, and she said there was all these, like, big fireballs just falling out of the sky, and they were hitting our city, just blowing stuff up. And she said there was one that was heading right for our house. And she said, I ran inside. I said, everybody, we need to pray. And they start to pray, and they hear this explosion, and they're still there. And they open the front door, and a truck that's parked right in front of their house was on fire, but they were spared. And you know, there's a prophet, well-known prophet. I won't name his name, but something he said one time, I heard him speak, and this just stuck with me, and I share it too a lot, is that he said the Lord told him this, that not even an atomic bomb can penetrate the glory of God. You know, and so where his presence... No, that wasn't scary. Well, let me catch my breath. But that tells you that where his presence is, you know, that house of prayer, that place of prayer is so important, because where God is, so is his glory. I mean, I'm telling you, that is how we survive this stuff. It's Psalm 91 over and over. Study it, read it, put it inside, because Psalm 91 is how we survive. Anybody else? Comments, questions? Yes, sir. Archer.
Excuse me. Last evening, were we not speaking with Johnny Foote outside the door? And what did he tell you about the church having to be?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to share that. But, I mean, I know what you're saying, because I was obviously there. But I can't, I don't have his permission to share. And I really would love to, but I can't. So I'm going to honor him by not sharing that. But I appreciate the question, because I know it pertains. It absolutely pertains to this. So anybody else? Question, comments?
Yeah, hi, I'm Christine.
Hi.
And hi. I have a question for you about if the Lord has showed you anything about politically America, what's going to be going on in that time?
He has not.
Okay.
And I'll say that a lot of believers think that there's a political answer to this stuff that's going on. And truly, this nation has turned away from God. And we are coming under the curses of God, as we talked about earlier, Deuteronomy 28. Just start looking at that stuff. And you go, oh my gosh, we're already falling into this category of being cursed. And so it is not just the strength of a human being that is going to bring this nation back. It is only by the hand of God that we are restored. And because we are... It is him who has turned away because we have turned away. And until someone gets in that office that repents and says and apologizes to God and starts putting things back in order in God's will, it will never change. God is the one who will change it. He's the only one that can change it.
Sure, and that makes sense. I guess I was just asking if you've heard people like just have a heart for raising to places of power and influencing the nation.
I have heard that. I mean, There are believers who are running for office and who have a heart for the Lord. And actually, I've even been in D.C. and listened to a couple of senators and such talk about how God has called them to the office. And so God has his people fighting for stuff in D.C. He really has. The stuff that we don't even know about that God has them doing. It's pretty cool. And there's also prayer warriors out in D.C. that God has, under the radar fighting for this nation. And if you think of recently God brought me to Habakkuk. He wanted me to look at Habakkuk. Well, Habakkuk was a guy that was seeing all this stuff happen in Judah in front of him, and he didn't like what he was seeing. All this evil, and he's like, God, why aren't you doing something about this? And God tells him, I am. He said, even if someone, if I had somebody come and tell you what it was, you wouldn't believe it. But what he was doing was raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians to as a tool of chastisement on Judah. And it freaked him out. He's like, they're more evil than we are. Why would you do that? Why would you raise up a more evil empire, to bring chastisement on us? Why don't you just, that's what his deal was. And God said, I'm going to punish them too. But I'm going to use them to chastise you, to Judah. And so what does Habakkuk do? He and he agrees with God. And he says, I'm your watchman. I'm staying right here. And he begins to ask for God's mercy. In your wrath, have mercy. And that's what we need to be doing. Lord, have mercy on our nation. Have mercy on Europe. Have mercy on Canada. Have mercy on Mexico. Have mercy on us. Because he is a merciful God. And that's just like Abraham. When he knew that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he cried out to God, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, don't do it. If there's 25, he dropped it all the way down to 10. And I truly believe he thought 10 was the magic number. Okay, it's not going to happen. There's got to be 10. Well, there wasn't even that because the destruction came. So we do need to seek God's mercy in all of this. And you know what? He will. Because in Habakkuk, when Habakkuk cried out for mercy, it didn't come as it sounded. It didn't come as harshly as it sounded like it was going to. When you look in history, it came, but it wasn't as harsh as it appeared it was going to be. I think God honored his prayer. In your anger, Father, have mercy. He wants to show mercy. Anybody else? Questions, comments, anybody?
Yes. I still have the mic over here.
Where are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
I did the first question. I wasn't on the mic, though. You being from Texas, have you been keeping up last year where Texas passed I'll just read the headline. Texas launches gold-backed bank challenging the Federal Reserve. Sounds like they're hedging their bets on the U.S. dollar.
I haven't heard that. I know Texas is really not just taking it sitting down. Which I love. It's good to be part of a government and a governor who's fighting for what God wants. I think that's. What can you say except that's so awesome? I'm really. It's a blessing to be a part of that state where you see that happening. But we're still. Texas is still part of the United States, and there are places of refuge God's raising up in Texas as well. I'll just leave it at that. Anybody else?
So just in response to the question that was asked about a political perspective.
Yes, and go, Jason, go.
I just wanted to encourage people. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is dealing with his disciples. He's explaining things out of the scriptures. He's making reference to the prophetic scriptures about what he came here to do. And this was about his first advent. He's being very pointed with his disciples. Peter rose up and he rebuked the Lord. He said, not so, Lord. And Jesus turned around and said, depart from me. Get behind me, Satan. Later in chapter 26 in Matthew, when he's had the supper, he's gone up to pray. He's already explained to the disciples that somebody's going to deceive them out of the 12. They're in the garden. They couldn't even stay awake to pray with Jesus. We know the story that they come to take him, and again Peter rises up and he takes one of the guards' ears off, you know. And again, he's just kind of out of time. He's not on board. He thinks in his own wisdom that if he pushes against, he can change things or manipulate the circumstances. But I think there's a lesson to learn there, that here we are with the second advent. Yeshua is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I think we really need to learn from what the scriptures are teaching us about the signs and the times and the things we're to be looking for. Amen. Because we don't need to push. And I'm not pro or anti-political in this statement, but to realize, again, it's not what we can do. He has a plan. He's strategic. He's laid things out in detail for us on how we're to respond in these days. And as he begins to put this thing together, as you're seeing, as you travel, as other people are getting the pieces of the puzzle, like that thread, eventually he's going to pick up those who he has strategically placed, and he will move his plan forward. And I think if we look past the political agendas of wherever we're at and look to Yeshua, he is our king.
Amen.
He laughs, and he laughs at the plans of those who are in control on the earth.
Amen.
He mocks at them. So well, I would just encourage people to really look to Yeshua, look to his words. Pay attention to what his prophetic words are for these days, because he wants us to be prepared. Like you said, he loves us.
He does.
And he wants us to know what's going
on. You know, and even like Habakkuk, who didn't really agree with how God was going to bring punishment on Judah, he went ahead and agreed with it, because God's big. It's his plan. And so that's what we need. We need to line up with what he's doing. And you know, as Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God, always said, you know, God is always at work around us. And what we need to do with believers is to join him in what he's doing. We don't need to be the ones fighting, going, no, I disagree. I think we ask for his mercy, but we line up with him. And he's going to fulfill his word. And that trumps everything, no pun intended. Okay, I'll get to you. They've got the microphone here, so.
My name is Larry.
Hi, Larry.
I skimmed through the Bible and I found 245 miracles, and I'm sure there's more. This book has been accumulated for us just for this time.
Amen, brother.
Everything that's in that book is your guidebook, is going to tell you what to do, and you can do every single thing. So we're going to see miracles, signs, wonders, and healings. We're going to be doing this stuff. Right. This is going to be the most incredible time in the history of mankind. So I've always been taught to shudder and shake when I hear the word, tribulation. Well, if you're full of the Holy Spirit and you have control over demons, you can get through this thing, every bit of it. There's 28 gifts, by the way, from the Holy Spirit. You can have them all. But our job is to follow the book, and we can take this thing through, and we can get to where we're going to go.
Amen, Larry. Thank you. Okay, over here. So you got a long way to run. Sorry, Justin.
Where are we talking?
Raise your hand again. There he is. And tell us your name, please, too.
My name is Rick.
Okay.
And since the early 90s, the Lord's been dealing with me, talking to me, pressing me, having me study Isaiah 60. And I did that for
That's a good laugh.
6-8 miles, I mean months, maybe a year the first time, and then I just kind of faded out of it. And he said, I want you to study that because that's where we're going. About 5 years later, the Lord said, get back in Isaiah 60, Rick, because that's where we're going. And I did, and it was several months. I got more out of it. It faded away. About 5 years after that, which has been about 5 years now, 7, 8, something like that, the Lord said, get back in that again now. I want you to stay there this time because we're there now. And what he's been telling me is there's two sides to this coin. And And he refers to it in the Bible as the great and terrible day. And the two sides are, Isaiah 60 describes them. It says, well, the first verse says, arise and shine because your light has come. And he brought my attention to, it's your light, Rick. And he said, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And that's what you're talking about. And verse 2, it says, behold. And the word behold, I'm one of those who looks up every word, even of and at and the. And I want to know what applies there. And the word behold means look and see. And the Lord said to me, Rick, if you'll look now, you can see. This is just a thing God struck me with. But my Bible has numbers over the top. And I look the numbers up in the Strong's or whatever it is that's in my Bible. And I get the definition of the word. So I did. And he said, what number is over that? Behold. He said, if you look now, you'll begin to see it. And it was 2009. And at first it didn't strike me, but he said, he just thinks and you think. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it's a big word. He just made me think. I don't mean anything. I'm not political. I don't mean anything by this, but that's when Mr. Obama took office. And he just brought that to my attention. And he said, I want you to stay there now. It says, behold. And he said, you'll begin to see this now. What it says is, behold, there's a darkness shall cover the earth, and a gross darkness the people. But my light has risen upon you. That's two sides of the coin. And the glory of the Lord will be seen on you. And he showed me two visions to go with it, but it doesn't matter. He said, the glory of the Lord will be seen on you. And the Gentiles, I'll look it up, the heathen masses, those who don't know you, caught up in everything else, will come to your light. And he showed me a picture of me, somebody coming to my door, and I just instantly thought Jehovah Witness, you know, for whatever reason. And they would fall at my feet. And the Lord would say, don't be afraid of that, Rick. They're not worshiping you. They see your glory. They see my glory. And he showed me the same thing in the supermarket. And he told me, I want you to stay there. And I don't have a time, but I have a season. And he said, I want you to stay there now because we're there now. And I'm hearing what you say. And the one side of the coin fits everything you've said that the Lord's shown me.
And you're right.
And he's strong on me that there is no fear in it, brother. That has to be part of it.
Amen. Isaiah 60 is, if you just read Isaiah 60 and just let it go in, because it's for real. It is truly about today. Anybody else? Question, comment? Okay, one more, and then I'm going to go to the show and tell stuff. Yeah. What is your name? Mitch. Go to Mitch.
I'm Mitch. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Yeah.
Be the head and the tail, lend to many nations and not borrow. Is there one? Or am I just ignorant?
Is there one what?
A nation that does that.
We were a nation like that. We were a nation
okay.
like that.
And that's the way I understood it. We
yes.
lend to many nations
yes.
and we don't borrow, and now we're in such tremendous
debt. We're totally on the opposite side now.
Correct. Okay.
So we have become the tail. Good. Thank you for letting me make that clear. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed you. What is your name first?
My name is Emma.
Emma.
And I am visiting from Tennessee. I had a question earlier, just wondering if you would be willing to tell me where you visited in Tennessee, where you spoke.
In Franklin. Where I visited in Franklin. Are you from Franklin?
Yes.
It was Central Tennessee.
Well, that's
all I'm going to say.
That's pretty close to Central
Pretty close
Tennessee.
To you.
Okay. What my comment, the most recent one here, was I am thinking very strongly of Genesis 12:3, where God has called Israel his wife. We are the bride, but Israel is his wife. And everything, the whole crux of everything revolves around Israel. And we were so blessed as a nation for a lot of years. And I, when I used to read the scripture which said that all nations will turn against Israel, she won't have a friend left.
Right.
And that's when she will finally turn back to God. And I used to think that means that we, United States, is going to have to turn against her. And it just broke my heart. Well, we have all seen that happen in the last several years. And the current political climate doesn't seem very warm or apt to change much either one of the candidates. But I take a great deal of comfort and peace in the fact that the Lord said that he is the one who raises up kings, and he is the one who takes them down.
Amen.
So this whole election is in the hands of God. Amen. If we are obedient and pay attention to what he's telling us to do.
You know, just like Justin was preaching about this morning, about the nations and how, you know, what did you say, Justin, about all the scripture is all the nations.
Or is a drop in the bucket.
Or is a drop in the bucket. God is so powerful, right? He is so powerful. We think we're so powerful, this United States, but to the Lord, to God, we are even less than a drop in the bucket because we're only one nation. So let's not build ourselves up too much. But Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on this nation. This one that used to love you. This one that used to act like we loved you. Have mercy. Thank you, Emma. Okay, show and tell. I don't want to get into everything because of the time. It's already 8:30 and I got to go to bed. No, I'm kidding. I've got a few things here that I could only carry so much in a suitcase with my clothes, so I just have a little bit of stuff here, but some of it is just to kind of trigger me to talk about different things. So one of the things that, you know, people ask about money and finances and, you know, do you buy gold or silver or whatever, but, you know, people are doing that. Actually, I just saw today somebody brought to my attention that Soros just bought, how much gold did he buy? Some $1.4 billion of gold. Soros. And he's not a believer, is he? So if he's doing it as a guy who walks in the natural, I mean, just pray. I mean, this is all cover it in prayer. I'm not saying to do what he's doing, but it's clear that the entire world recognizes something's cooking. Something's happening. So, but one of the things that the Lord has spoken to people as I've traveled is heirloom seeds. And this is a company this is a booklet from, I didn't bring the whole seed kit here, but they do seed kits, and their website, you can Google this and find it as well, and it'll lead you there. I think they've changed the name of their website, but it's ARK seedkits.com. And these are friends of mine. These are people that love the Lord. They're all about the Lord. This is a move of God on their lives to do this kind of stuff. Some of you may know them. They're awesome God chasers. They are all about the kingdom. And so if that's something, you know, I love doing business with the kingdom people, right? And these guys are those. So it's arkseedkits.com. And Google that. I think they've changed their site, but just check them out. They have kits that range from like 25,000 seeds in like a little tube, probably a 15-inch tube, and then they go down to little garden kits if you want just enough for a garden or whatever, smaller place. So you can look them up online and kind of figure it out. There's also a guy I just met in southern Michigan, and I don't have anything from him here, but he's got a company that and a thing on his heart. It's called Val's Patio Gardens. And they are like little cylinders. They're probably like a foot in diameter, and there's a 24-inch size, and there's a 40-inch size. And in the side of these things are little doors that what you do is you put in a bunch of peat moss, and then you just plant seeds in there, and you can plant a whole garden in like a little patio. It'll grow up out of the sides, and there's certain plants that will work well in that, and that comes with the thing as you buy it. And his wife actually grew like a whole, literally a crop of corn in the bigger one, the 40-inch one. So he had corn, he said, that was reaching up to like the bottom of the wires on the telephone pole, that kind of stuff, crazy stuff. But, you know, it was real susceptible to wind because it's just top heavy. But, and it takes a lot of water because you have a small amount of space for a lot of crops. Interesting thing. So it's called Val's patiogardens.com, but I think it's just patiogardens.com. So just Google that and Val's, and he's a kingdom guy too, just a really cool guy. Just recently stumbled across him. I never stumble across anybody. It was a God appointment. Something else to keep in mind too is, as we're talking about food, is, and I just brought a little Mylar bag, but is long-term storage food. And a couple years ago, 3 years ago, the Lord told me it was time for me to make a serious investment in long-term storage food. And that's the food that lasts like 25 years. You just keep it in a cool place, hopefully. If you have that, you do the best you can with what you have. But, you know, I bought a lot of staples. I didn't get into the freeze-dried stuff so much. There are people that do in that. That's fine. You just do what you feel like you should do. But I bought more staples that I could use additives like other kinds of food to join with it to make it last longer, to go further, that kind of stuff. So that's what I did, but that's what this is about. Something else, let me just look around here. You guys up here in the cold country, these are hand warmers. And, you know, I'm Texas even, we get cold, not like you guys do here, but I've got a bunch of hand warmers that you can stick in your socks or you can, you know, keep in your gloves. But it, you know, just that extra help. Also, I'm just going to run across the table here. But this is I was in a snowstorm on the East Coast one time, and I was staying in a house, and they lost their electricity. So we were stuck in this house for 4 days. 4 days without electricity, and they had one of these solar shower bags. And I've never seen them. I'm not a prepper guy or that kind of. This is not about prepping either. And everything that I'm showing you. Pray about, literally ask the Lord, but you know, to me there are things that the Lord will tell you as you pray this stuff in, but then there are things that you do on your own, which I've done, you know, like, and I always use this example, but I have a bunch of toilet paper, you know, God didn't tell me to store up toilet paper, I told me to store up toilet paper, right? So so this is like a solar shower, and you just fill this thing up with water, and you can hang it outside in the sun, and it'll warm up the water, and then you could, you know, take a shower with it, and you've got your it's a solar heated shower. It's not like a shower that you would have in your house, but it does come out like a shower. It's a spray, got a spray nozzle to it. So it's kind of a cool thing that I ran across too. And then there is the idea of doing laundry. God said, start learning how to do basic things without electricity. So I started looking at laundry. How do you do laundry? Well, you start looking online. It's real simple. I mean, you get 2 5-gallon buckets, and they're $3-4 or whatever they are, $5 maybe, and this plastic buckets, and you, one is your wash for your wash cycle, and one is for your rinse cycle. It's so simple. So you fill up, not totally fill it up, but 3/4 of the way or whatever, depending on how much clothing you have to wash. You put your clothes in there, and you get a toilet plunger. That's your agitator. And you can poke holes in it so the water can kind of flow through it, and you just start agitating the wash, and you can wash it for as long as you need to. If it's really a lot of dirt, you wash it extra long. If it's not so bad, you wash it shorter. And then you take it out of the soapy water, you put it over into the rinse cycle, the clean water bucket, and you do the same thing. And you just keep doing it, dump out the dirty water, put some more clean water, and just keep going. And then your dryer, of course, is a clothesline. Simple as that. That's what this helps me remember to talk about this stuff. So, you know, clothesline is the dryer. It's so simple. We just made it so complicated and expensive, right? Something else really important is, and I just bring this with me, is hand tools. And so many of us have power tools. Like we're out there like cutting with our chainsaws and our, you know, whatever. Power tools are so sweet. But start thinking about a time without electricity. What are you going to do? All those power tools become paperweights. That's what they're good for. And so you need to have stuff like this. You need to have this. This is a drill, right? The old-fashioned drill. But saws and axes. And if you have those things, then you have to have sharpeners. That's what I got here, too, sharpener. But you have to have sharpeners. And you have to have you have to be your own Lowe's or Home Depot. You've got to have this stuff because the stores are closing. And if you don't have it, you're out of luck. So you have to have extra axe heads, extra axe handles, sharpeners, all that kind of stuff, because that's how we're going to do this stuff. We're going back to the old days. And then you think about wood-burning stoves for cooking and for heat. I mean, that sort of thing. That's really important. And there are cheap ways to do this. You don't have to have like a, mega dollar heater in your house, that kind of thing. You can do it on a smaller scale, but pray this stuff in, all of this, pray it in, because the Lord may not even have you stay in your own house. He may send you off somewhere else, but that's why it's so important to pray this stuff in. Bathe everything in prayer. Don't just do it out of, but you know what it does, though, is helps you get in the mindset. And one of the things I ran across along the way was this, and I know you guys know it here, but, and it's funny because I knew the McTiernans and actually the Bolins, or Kinnada anyway, Bolin, before I knew about this. And I get a phone call from my sister, and somebody in our church just found this study called Preparedness Peace. You get it at preparednesspeace.com. We're about to do it as a church. And I'm like, who wrote that? And she reads these things. I'm like, I know them. These guys didn't even tell me. And these guys are here in Pagosa Springs. So this is a great resource to help you get started. If it's something, if this is all new to you and you've never even thought about this stuff and are clueless, this is really a good way to get your feet wet and get you going in this. And so this is available at preparednesspeace.com. And also there's you could get workbooks. These are like how many weeks of this? Seven or six? 6 week course. And there's DVDs that you can get, a workbook with DVDs, so you could do it as a group. You could do it, just get it, just the workbook only. I mean, there's options to this. So just check it out online. And again, these are Kingdom people. Raise your hands in case people don't know you guys, Kelly and Scott McTiernan. So yeah, applause for them. And God laid this on your heart how many years ago to do this? 2008. What a year. That's when I got the download. Interesting. Okay. Something else as well are maps, and I'm just going to say it. I'm going to show you the atlas. There are just maps of where you are, and you don't want just necessarily the road atlas that you buy at a Walmart, that kind of thing. There are more detailed maps that it's really good to have maps. Know where routes are, know where things are, the back roads, that kind of stuff. If you have family living in other places and you're thinking, how are we going to connect, it's good to have maps between you and them. It's really good to get to know the routes, get to know the back roads and the dirt roads, all that kind of stuff. Remember I told you, initially we're not going to be able to use, it's going to be dirt roads and back roads. So start, I'm just, you don't have to, I'm not telling you what to do, but pray this stuff in. But I want to get my family close to, I want to be close to them and them close to me, that kind of stuff. And so it's really good to do that. And of course, electricity goes away, fuel's going to go away. And, electric generators, or let me say fuel generators, they're going to last only so long. If you don't have access to fuel, or you just have a little bit of fuel stored up on your property, that's all you're going to have. And it takes a lot of money to get one of those. Generators can cost you, and especially storing up fuel too. But there's other generators, solar generators. There's other things out there now that are maybe a little more pricey, but worth looking at. So pray about. But and of course, transportation. If you start no electricity, you don't have fuel. Bicycles are really good. This is a little bicycle tube. But you're going to have the extra tubes, extra patches, extra tires, whatever you got to have. Because if that's your deal, if that's all you got is a bike or two bikes or three bikes, you're going to have your own stuff to repair it. So you got to think about that. Not just having the bike, but okay, I got a flat tire now. What do I have to fix that? That kind of stuff. Horses are going to play a big role in this. So are rivers. Boats are. So if the Lord has put on your heart horses, I've run across people that God, we have horses, and that's what we're supposed to do. And also there's a lot of boats out there and people who know that they're going to be moving people in these boats. Something kind of unique are earplugs. Now, why would you do earplugs, right? Not just for shooting or whatever, but you got 20 people sleeping in one room. Some people aren't as quiet as other people. I'm probably not as quiet as I used to be. I don't know, I'm asleep. But earplugs are going to be helpful, I think, during that time. So a lady along the way, we're talking about solar, and I have this solar light here that I picked up at Amazon, and it was like, I think, $8 or $9 or something like that, and it's really simple. You've got the solar thing on top. You leave it out during the day. You bring it out in at night, and you got a pretty good light here. And these aren't bad. They're not the brightest of lights, but it's better than nothing. But a lady along the way, I was showing that, and this lady, you know, raises her hand, which is cool. I love that. And she said, the Lord told me that I needed to buy as many of these as I possibly could get my hands on. You know what these are? Those little sidewalk patent lights that you put along the sidewalk. These for sell at Walmart for 97 cents a piece. And if you, like, bundle them up, you get five of them together or whatever, you put them out during the day, you bring them in at night, bundle them together, you get a pretty bright light. It's brighter than, or as bright as that, if not brighter. So there are just so many options out there. And to me, that's one that if the Lord has put on somebody's heart to do. And I thought, man, that's a great idea. And so I just went out and bought some of these. And yeah, again, slowly you just accumulate just a little by little. $5 here and there, just start getting stuff. Just a little at a time. And you know what it does? It starts to change your mindset. You start to start thinking about, or you start to think, you start to think about your situation differently. And what do I need at my house? And you start to look around your house and your farm or whatever, and you start to, oh, I need one of those. I need this. I need that. And it really starts to change your mindset and gets you ready for this stuff. So there's, as we were talking about it today, is like, if you're ready, if you feel like you're ready, there's a lot less fear in the natural. There's a lot less fear. You just start moving that direction. Bathe it in prayer. Just something random, duct tape, because it's good for so many things. So I've got a bunch of duct tape and Vaseline and things like that, hydrogen peroxide, vinegar, all kinds of different things. And that stuff, you just start looking around and get this preparedness piece and start looking through there. And, oh man, that's a good idea. That's picking stuff up just little by little. If you don't have a lot of money, fine, just do a little at a time and just start working toward it. Something else that I ran into along the way is, this is called Fish Mox Forte. FishMoxForte, three words. For those that are listening, and this is 100 capsules, and you can get this at like PetSmart or Petco, something like that. This is for aquariums, but it's amoxicillin, just like the doctor prescribes to you. Same stuff, exactly the same, but you can get it at a pet store. Because what you do with a pet store, with an aquarium, is you open the capsule and just put it in the top of the aquarium, and it helps your fish recover. But it's the same stuff. So I haven't. Well, I saw a doctor last week because I had spots, and he's working on that. But that's different. But I haven't seen a doctor for any kind of sickness, because I know when I need an antibiotic. I know when I need it. And I think most of us do. As adults, we figure it out. And so I don't need to go see a doctor. I just run to Petco or whatever, you know. How crazy is that? I don't feel good. I'll go to Petco. And so compasses, you know, directional things, go bags, those kinds of things, really good to have. You can go online, search that out, see what's really good to have in a go bag. Preparedness piece also covers that, I think, too. So there's so many things that are possible. There's so much out there, and that's why you need to pray this stuff in, because none of us can get everything. We're going to miss something. And so when the Lord tells you to buy shampoo, okay, I got a bunch of it. He tells you to buy red wine. Okay, you do that. So whatever he lays on your heart to do, you do. Something that a lot of people don't think about are those lovely rodents. And so you get like mouse traps and things like that, because you don't want those things getting in your food, getting in your stuff. And so traps are, this is a lot easier, obviously, than doing poison or whatever. But there are so many options to do that. So exterminating pests that you don't want, you can shoot them too if you're good. But, or if you have a dog that jumps up and snatches them like these guys have. this thing right here in the middle. Before I get to that, this is a food. You remember in that download I saw food was the big issue, that people didn't have food. And so, you know, you have heirloom seeds, you have long-term storage food, things like that. You could do canned food, just rotate your stock, though. But water is also going to be vital. Vital, vital, vital. And actually, the prophet that I was kind of alluding to before, who said that not even an atomic bomb can penetrate the glory of God, the Lord told him also that pure water is going to be more valuable than gold. And this is just a little thermos. It's got a filter inside. And these are like $30, I think. Somebody gave this to me somewhere. But it's all I could carry on the plane. So they have water filters. There's all kinds of stuff that relate to cleaning water. They cover that in there as well. But just continue, you know, pray about this stuff. Lord, where do we go with this? And even if you have a well, if you don't have electricity, is your well electric? You know, or can you put a hand pump on there, or a solar kind of situation, something like that, some way in to at least have a backup and a backup and a backup to what you're doing. Does that make sense to you? It's just, is we really need to think through past the obvious and go down the tier. This thing right here, this big metal thing, and I can't really lift the whole thing up, but let me lift up that first. This is put out by a company called BioLite. It's BioLite. And I saw this, I thought, this is like cool. And this is like a portable version, but they have a bigger version. It's probably about 2 feet tall, something like that. And what this is a cook stove type thing. And so what you do is you put this orange thing attaches onto this metal piece. And inside, if you see this right here, there's a copper piece that sticks up in there. And the reason why is when you start a little fire, you get leaves and twigs and stuff, start a little fire going, it heats up that copper and it runs, it starts a little motor in this thing, which starts a fan. And the fan is what circulates the air into the fire, and it starts getting hotter and hotter, and it's pretty good. It's really quick. And then you take this, and you can cook straight on top of this thing, or you can get a separate attachment, which is what this thing is. It's like a little grill. And so that this piece, this hole right here fits on top of that hole, and the heat gets up in here. And you can add, there's a flip top there that you can add more twigs or whatever you need to burn, whatever you're burning, you can add more while you're cooking. And this thing, this piece, the heat piece, that whole bottom piece, costs, I think it's about $120 for that. And this separate piece is like $69 or somewhere in that ballpark. But sometimes they have them on sale, like at Lowe's, I think this last year they were selling them. And they actually had a sale, so I bought, you know, a little bit more. And they have the bigger unit that's, like I said, about 2 feet tall, and you can put bigger logs in there. I got this because I know I'm going to be moving around a lot during this time, so I'm going to probably want something like that. But the bigger one are good for your stationary. It's in, like if you don't have a wood stove or whatever, I think that thing costs about $299 for the bigger one. But Lowe's had them on sale and it really dropped it pretty good. So you just got to watch for that stuff. But BioLite.com is a place to get that, or Amazon or whatever. So anybody else got anything? Toothbrushes. Toothpaste, you're not going to, the electric toothbrush, which is what I use, electricity goes away. You can use it that way, but it's really good to have just standard toothbrushes and floss. You really got to take care of yourself during this time. And man, you don't want people running around with toothaches and having to pull teeth. And I can't, you know, how tough is that going to be? Especially when you have, with a lack of sleep, 20 people sleeping in the same room and they're all noisy. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else? Questions? Anyone have anything they're doing that I haven't talked about or that I've missed today somehow? Anybody else? Because it's 10 till 9. Yes, sir. Mitch. Sorry? All that stuff. That's right. Matches. They're, you know, flint and I mean, what's that? Yeah, there you go. Absolutely correct. And salt and pepper, you know, it's funny, I go to these fast food places and I've been getting those little packets of salt and pepper for a long time, years. So I have a ton of that, little packets of salt and pepper. That's good stuff. Yes, ma'am. Children's Tylenol. Right, if you've got children coming through. Yeah, absolutely. Very good. That's really good. And diapers and Vaseline and, you know, those, I mean, just stuff. Think about it. You think about your family. Think about whoever is near you that God may put on your heart to take care of or help. Start thinking that way. Don't think about yourself so much. But Lord, who are you going to send here? Who, what do I need to have here? And, you know, that kind of stuff. I could go on and on. So anybody else? Medicinally, essential oils. You know what? Amen. Essential oils, and it is exploding across the body of Christ. Essential oil. How many of y'all are into essential oils? Oh my gosh, it's a cult. But essential oils, I mean, why do you think God's doing that? It's because he knows. It's like all of a sudden things are coming that are going to be tough. We got to have that stuff. And truly, even like homeschooling, I think that's why it's exploded across the body of Christ over these years, because we are going to, you know, I told you, we are going to be moving school supplies in the middle of this stuff. And I had to think about that. So we're going to be so comfortable in the city of refuge environment that we're going to have school for our kids. So there's a lot of moms and dads out there that have taught their kids at home. They know how to do it. They have the materials even. And, man, it's perfect. God is so good. A winding watch. The Lord gave you a dream about this. So there's a gal in front of you, knowing it's the end times. She's standing in front of you. You know it's the end times. You both do. Okay? Well, what are you going to do? She asks you. And she said, well, because I'm a Christian, she knew that you didn't take the mark of the beast. Oh, amen. There will be a problem-solving anointing because you didn't take the mark of the beast because you're trusting the Lord. How cool is that? So the Lord will give, he'll give you the revelation about solving the problem that you're facing. Amen. 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 God is going to take care of us, and it is all supernatural. Not all, because I talked about food, medical supplies, school supplies. But God is going to provide for us. He's going to take care of his kids, and we truly need to trust him in every situation. In every situation. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Right. Medical supplies, Band-Aids, wraps, all that kind of stuff. And that's so true. Crutches. I mean, just whatever, because things are going to happen. And especially, you know, we're going to have all kinds of people come in different physical ways, meaning that some people will break a leg or break an arm, or stuff will happen on the road or as they start moving through. And we are going to have to be ready. And, of course, we'll be all covered up in prayer. We will so be about prayer. We will be that way. Jason. Medicinal herbs. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Okay. It's almost 9 o'clock, 5 till 9. Let's finish it up. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you, and I thank you for Pagosa Springs, Lord. What a great place, Lord. I thank you for Restoration Fellowship and your presence here, Father. I thank you that you are truly gathering people together, gathering so many leaders and so many people who have expertise in different things. Father, what a cool thing you're doing. I pray, Father, that you would bless this city, Father. Bless the water supply here, Father. Protect it, Father, from the enemy. Lord, I pray your protection over the land, Lord. I ask that you would bless this land and bless the people who reside here, Father, those that trust you, Lord, and those that will trust you, Father. I pray, Father, that you would cover this place with your hand, Lord, that there would be a dome over this place, as so many have seen in other places. Father, that you would cover this place with a dome of your spirit. Father, may you assign angels to this place that would protect and that would provide and that would warn all that anything against anything the enemy could do here, Father. And we pray, Father, that you would, Lord, I pray that you would protect everything that has been shared here tonight, Lord. Protect every seed that has been planted, Lord. We just desire your protection over it, Father. And I pray, Father, against any fear in Jesus' name. Father God, may you replace fear with faith. And I pray, Father, that you would fill each one of our hearts with courage, Lord, from your spirit, Father. That we would stand up and truly see ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God, who you love and who you sent your son to die for, Father. May we never forget how much you love us and how truly you will care for us in this time that is coming. You are faithful, Lord. You are pure. You are holy. And Father, I pray that we would have a heart that desires to meet you, that desires to please you and to stay in that place of closeness to you, Father. Because, Lord, we know that when we draw close to you, you draw close to us. How you love that intimacy. And I pray, Father, that we would even feel your breath, that we would be so intimate with you, so close to you, Lord. Pray your blessing over the house of prayer, Father, and over those people that you're bringing to this place to call forth the Spirit of God over this place, Father, to call forth the army to this place, Father, to call forth all that you have planned in this place, Father, so that it may come to pass. Everything, Father, may your desires come to pass in Pagosa Springs and even in this region, even in the state of Colorado. Lord, we thank you for the Rocky Mountains. How beautiful and majestic they are. How they just cry out that you are sovereign, that you are the creator of all things. Lord God, may you bless those mountains, bless those pathways. Raise up your cities of refuge along the Rockies, Father. Call forth your army up in those places, and even in the high places and the low places. Lord God, we just pray that you would bless the mountains and use the mountains for your will as we walk this out, Lord. We are so grateful that we get to be part of what you're doing. Lord God, may you bless this plan of yours, Lord. And I pray, Father, again, that you would have mercy on these United States. Have mercy on each state, Father. Have mercy on your people. Have mercy, Lord, even globally, Father, have mercy. And I pray, Father, that our heart would join yours in what you're doing, that we wouldn't fight you, Lord, like Habakkuk did, Lord God, that, you know, not run away like Jonah ran away, Father, not agreeing with what you're doing, Lord, but may we truly agree with what you're doing and walk with you and Lord, agree with you that you desire mercy. Lord God, we ask for that mercy. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.